What's poppin', people? Welcome to Say Less Daily. It's October 18th, 2022. My name is Kazeem Famuyide. Welcome to our daily podcast looking into what's going on in the world, music, sports, culture, and everything in between. And of course, for followers and supporters of Say Less with Kaz, Lowkey, and Rosie. You can listen to Say Less with Kaz, Lowkey, and Rosie each and every Monday at 9 a.m. on YouTube.com/Kazeem. And you can support Say Less with Kaz, Lowkey, and Rosie on Patreon.com/Say Less, where we'll be delivering a brand new Patreon episode this week, as well as starting to populate the feed with tons of behind-the-scenes content between myself, Lowkey, Rosie, access into daily chats with the Say Less Daily account, and many other things. So I don't want to take too much time promoting all the getting all the housekeeping out the way. I want to get into it because we got a very packed day today. The NBA season kicks off tonight with the Philadelphia 76ers taking on the Boston Celtics. The Los Angeles Lakers are taking on the Golden State Warriors on ring night. And there's a whole lot of stories between those two teams that I want to get into as well. But first and foremost, I want to start off with the top story of the day. Kanye West on Drink Champs and the fallout from that. But before we do any of that, please make sure you check out this week's episode of Say Less with Kaz, Lowkey, and Rosie on my YouTube page, youtube.com/Kazeem. Fun episode, definitely a palate cleanser for the podcast content that I feel like we're going to get for the next several weeks because of this man. Just about movies, snacks, TV, easy, fun, light debate between myself, Lil Rosie, and Jake. So check it out when you get a chance. But let's get right into it, man. Nori is on the apology tour after this weekend. He invited Kanye West on his highly successful podcast, Drink Champs, as a part of Revolt TV. And, you know, for folks who, I'm sure if you're listening to this by now, have already either heard clips or have already heard sound bites. And for the sake of folks who I know were extremely hurt by Kanye West's thoughts and extremely hurt by his beliefs, especially to friends of mine who have expressed just how hurt they were, because at the risk of sounding, I want to say, ignorant, it took me a while, right? Anybody who listens to the podcast or has listened to myself, Lo, or Rosie talk about anything in the culture, we sort of made a pact to just kind of let the Kanye talk go. We kind of figured out the cycle, right? Like, you know, Kanye kind of disappears for a while, shows up, says a lot of crazy things, does a lot of crazy things, and it usually ends up in him selling us something, whether that be an album, whether that be a clothing line, whether that be a political run for office. You always kind of felt used, especially when it came to what happened recently, especially the last several years with his alliance with Donald Trump and, you know, saying slavery was a choice and, you know, just saying a lot of hateful things about black folks that kind of felt like dog whistles that, if it was said by literally any other person, especially white people, especially white Republicans, especially people that he now shares these common beliefs with, you would just kind of tune him out. I would tune him out. I don't want to speak for anybody who's listening to this, but I would 1,000% have tuned him out by now. And I have. But then I listened to the Donda album, of course. I had some jams on that. Do I still wear my Yeezy Boost at certain times? I did, of course. But like I said, at the risk of, sorry for taking that sip of tea on your ear, but at the risk of sounding ignorant, it took me a while to listen to this podcast because I just knew ever since the folks at Spring Hill, Mav and crew, decided not to air Kanye's episode of The Shop, and just knowing how they operate and just knowing just how, you know, content is driving everything that they do and their decision not to air the episode kind of let me know what kind of time Kanye was on. And I always implored people, like, yo, if you don't like this guy, like, yo, just stop giving him air. Stop giving him the attention that he's so richly craving, right? Like, stop tweeting about him. Stop talking about him. Stop bringing him up on your podcast. Stop debating it. Like, cut it out. Have some self-control. I always put it on the audience. I always put it on the people, like, you know what? it's y'all fault that this guy is even this powerful, because every time this guy says or does anything, you react to it almost involuntarily. And again, for the third time, I said this three times purposely, just so it's super clear, at the risk of sounding ignorant, I finally got around to listening to the episode and watching Drink Champs, I think on Sunday night, right after the Yankees beat the Cleveland Guardians in game four. And I started listening. And I'm like, okay, I'm hearing what he's saying about George Floyd, and hearing what he's saying about sort of, he's basically being an echo chamber or a product of an echo chamber of what a lot of right-wing Republicans or anti-Black Lives Matter people have said, not just about George Floyd, but about many other instances involving police brutality. And that's kind of where I drew the line, right? And to Nori, I think that's where he should have drawn the line. But I'm going to say, at the risk of sounding ignorant, I wanted to know, okay, this is something Kanye West is saying and something that I've heard from several people before. And obviously the whole Jews control the media and Jews are this and that. I would discuss this with friends and I'm like, man, those are, you know, not terrible things to be known for. Why is this such a hard discussion to have? Why is this such a terrible thing to be known for? Like, stereotypes are bad, we understand, and yada yada yada. But I was just like, do you know what other races are known for? Like, why is this so bad? Just ignorantly thinking about it. And I want to thank Peter Rosenberg, longtime friend of mine, the Jewish man, a great man. And I just listen to people, you know, and I just want to listen to where they come from. And the main thing that came away from when I heard Rosenberg talk and when I heard the Rosenthals, Jeff and Eric talk, because at times when we Black folks were and still are going through incredibly tough times as a race, especially when it comes to having support, especially 2 years ago in 2020, when that support needed to be loud and upfront and at your front step, and you couldn't just be silent about this thing. You had to say something. Those guys in particular, who are good friends of mine, were loud about their support of Black folks. Three guys that I've known for more than half of my life that have made an incredible career in the industry of hip-hop. And the one thing that stuck with me with Rosenberg when he was explaining why this was such terrible rhetoric is this is the exact same speech that got the Holocaust started. This is the exact same thought processes that got the Holocaust started. And he also mentioned that, yeah, it wasn't that long ago. We're talking mid-1900s. We're talking, these are people's parents who are products of the Holocaust. These are people's grandparents. These are people's relatives that they can talk to today. Not great-grandparents, not ancestors, not, you know, several generations ago. This happened within a lot of our lifetimes, a lot of people who's lived this. And even though you may dismiss Kanye's thoughts and rants as just the ramblings of somebody who's mentally off the wall and has shown at times that even though he is a man who has given the world lots of creative gifts, and I do believe musically and creatively he is a genius, we all know it also has comes with these moments. And it's never been more dangerous than it is now, because It's obvious that he's going to run for office. And even if he doesn't win, or if he does, but I don't think he's going to. I mean, who knows? Who knows? I cannot predict anything when it comes to political opponents anymore. You think of Donald Trump years, Herschel Walker, Arnold Schwarzenegger. A Kanye West presidential run isn't so far-fetched, not the blue at this point. The big joker when it comes to this is those are very dangerous things to say about an entire race of people. And if you're somebody who's built on love, if you're somebody who's built on understanding, if you're somebody who's built on peace and harmony, and of course, even if you're built, somebody built as someone for the advancement of black people, even if you believe all that stuff, but at the end of the day, you're like, I love my people more than any other people. If you're not leading with love, that's a dangerous place to be at. And I don't want to ride with that. Like, there's ways to go about that. There's ways for the advancements of black people. I understand you may believe that your people and our people have been fucked by industry standards and all that stuff. I understand that. That's fair. But when you start to generalize and you start to put that on an entire race of people, that's why I can't roll. I can't do that. And obviously, that wasn't the only thing that was said on that podcast that was extremely dangerous and hateful. You've heard Nori on the apology tour this week. He was on Hot 97, Breakfast Club, Rap Life Review with Lo, Ebro, and Adeska. Gosh, I think he's doing an episode of My Expert Opinion. I think he's doing everything right now because he kind of knows that he might have chopped off his nose to spite his face by having Kanye on his podcast after knowing what he was coming in there to do. Nori was on, Rosenberg, Ebro, and Laura in the morning on 97. And he explained himself and apologized, especially for the backlash that he received, because, here's where being a rapper and a journalist gets real tricky. Because I guarantee you, Chris Cuomo, who just recently launched a show, who's been through his own headline-making things himself, I guarantee you he's not going to get half the smoke that Nori's going to get. But when Nori got on Hot 97 yesterday, he said, quote, well, the logic was the same way you guys are for giving me the platform. I think you guys have love for me. You guys have respect for me. And you guys think that I should have a say. I have a relationship with Ye. When he was going through a lot of the things he was going through, he would call me. He would actually listen to me and take my advice. So I felt I could control the situation. I felt like I could control the interview and learned early on that I didn't. End quote. Nori's a good man. Nori's a good man for immediately taking responsibility. I mean, I feel like I don't know the euphemism to use, but like, I guess the cat's out of the bag right now. It's too late to put the smoke back into the keyhole. Like, I don't know. Whatever you want to say, like, I don't think any of these apologies are going to stop what's probably going to end up happening long term to his burgeoning platform. On top of hosting a guy who was literally talked crazy about the guy who owns the network that your podcast is built on. It's a little nuts. I will say that I live I have a professional wrestling mind, so I'm pretty sure Puff would get over it knowing how much views and traction he got from that. Even though the episode has been since deleted, still doesn't feel like Puff is going to get any sort of backlash from this. And where it gets confusing is that when you're a rapper, as a journalist, as a podcaster, the lack of pushback, the lack of going back and forth. And Nori, he was honest. He said, hey, man, I was afraid he was going to walk out. That is the risky run when you're being an interviewer, a journalist. I've been doing this for about 14 years, off and on. I'm a journalism major. I learned the game, obviously, through my own, through digital media and just sort of like the evolution of podcasting and interviewing and doing all that type of stuff. But I'm a traditionally trained broadcast and you know, literary journalist. It's a science to be able to interview controversial figures, do the good thing and let them talk, but also knowing that when you're speaking and speaking to things like it is a fact, it is your obligation to either challenge those notions or let it be known, hey, these are your opinions. This isn't necessarily factually based. Nori said, quote, as a black man, I feel like I failed, but justified his thought process that, quote, as a journalist, this is according to Billboard, the controversial interview was considered a success. He also went in to say, quote, because as a journalist, you're really not supposed to have an opinion. You're supposed to let people talk. And my biggest critique on Drink Champs is, Nori, you always cut people off. And this is the one time he didn't cut the people off. Didn't cut them off and everyone's mad. He also said, quote, I sincerely apologize to anybody that was hurt by Kanye's words, Kanye's actions. And however, he also claimed he called out to his longtime friend over Kanye's comments regarding George Floyd, which I thought was the most egregious of it all. We all saw what happened to George Floyd. To intimate that it was fentanyl that was slipped into him and he wasn't really choking, he sat on the dude's neck for 99 minutes. 9 minutes. Unbelievable. It's nobody's surprise. The day later, Kanye West offered to buy Parler. And for folks who don't know what Parler is more or less the right-wing version of Twitter, which is also owned by Candace Owens' husband. Candace Owens, the person who helped produce the latest George Floyd documentary about BLM being a scam, Black Lives Matter being a scam. And you kind of get the feeling the guy was had a little bit and taken advantage of. But I'm not making no excuses for him because he's a grown-ass man. And I do implore people to stop listening to him and stop being so easy when it comes to controversial topics. And stop letting the culture of celebrity decide how you move on certain folks. People may not hear what you got to say about Kanye's thoughts. Hell, Kanye might not even hear your thoughts. But the people that do hear your thoughts are your Jewish friends. People that you know, the people that you know in real life that are really hurt by these type of things that still affect them to this day. Same thing that happened with us, man. Like, yeah. How did you feel when certain white folks didn't speak up when black people getting murdered every day? Sure, like, you may have looked at them a little differently, but it was their silence that spoke louder than anything. The silence is louder than anything. In good ways and bad. You got the power to take this thing away by just shutting the hell up and just letting somebody talk into the empty void. But when you support, when you engage, when you give someone on stage an audience, they have no choice but to perform. And that's all I got to say on the rest of this Kanye conversation. I hope to not have to talk about this ever again. What's up, y'all? This is Kaz, and I want to give you the heads up on Cactus Plant Flea Market's latest collab with McDonald's. Cactus Plant Flea Market is the leading streetwear brand. Its drops are always highly coveted, and its brand is blessed by some of the biggest names in hip-hop culture. McDonald's is teaming up with Cactus Plant Flea Market to launch the Cactus Plant Flea Market Box, a limited edition, first-of-its-kind collab. What's in the Cactus Plant Flea Market Box? You can choose a Big Mac or 10-piece Chicken McNuggets with medium fries and medium drink. Plus, every box has an exclusive Cactus Plant Flea Market collectible. Plus, you can buy McDonald's Cactus Plant Flea Market merch at cpfmmcdonalds.com. Order your Cactus Plant Flea Market box on the McDonald's app for your chance at drops you don't want to miss. The more you order through the app, the greater your chance to win exclusive McDonald's and Cactus Plant flea market merch. Sweepstakes ends October 30th, 2022 at 11:59 p.m. Refer to rules at mcdartistresidency.com for no purchase instructions. Purchase entry only available using MCD app. Must be opted into My McDonald's Rewards. Entry is limited to one time a day. The Cactus Plant flea market box is available participating McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last. Let's get into some goddamn sports. Last night, Monday Night Football, the Denver Broncos took on the Los Angeles Chargers, and to no one's surprise, Russell Wilson on national television once again, on another national stage, came up short. Now, Russell Wilson came out hot. He started off hot. I think he went 10 for 10 in those first two drives. Racked up a touchdown, I want to say. Probably his best performance in the beginning of this of the game. First quarter of the game, Russell Wilson went 10 for 10, 116 yards, one touchdown. Russ was cooking. And after that, he went 5 for 18, sacked three times, 72 yards, and a loss. Man. Is Russell Wilson washed up? Is he washed up? This is a guy who was paid an exorbitant amount of money by the Denver Broncos, was traded for a huge amount of assets to the Seattle Seahawks. And now the Broncos have dropped to a 2-4 record in a division where many predicted was going to be a dogfight throughout the entire year, the AFC West. And between the Raiders and the Broncos, it's looking like tough sledding for any of those teams to make it in the playoffs. The Chargers might mess around and do something, obviously. And then, you know, at the top of that division, seems like they're going to be all right. Russell Wilson also left the game. Well, not left the game, but he had a shoulder injury. So he played a little banged up. And, man, the expectations were raised highly when the Broncos traded for him. A 9-time Pro Bowler, 33 years old. But right now he's looking like an absolutely just average quarterback, maybe even below average. Completing 58.6% of his throws for 1,442 yards and only 5 touchdowns. 3 interceptions in 6 games. He has 1 rushing touchdown. According to ESPN's total QBR, he ranks 25th out of 30 eligible quarterbacks with a 35.8 QBR. Denver also ranks 19th in rushing yards and gives up the third fewest yards in the league. I mean, hey, decent defense. I mean, rushing could be better. But a lot of this stuff is going to fall on Russell Wilson. Was it because, you know, Russell Wilson's personality has turned people off? Did that Flanders shtick ain't hitting no more? The Oakley Doakley will be all positive thing, whatever. You know, and it doesn't hurt that a lot of his contemporaries in Seattle now have podcasts, and you're getting a little bit of a insight into how Russell Wilson is as a person. What really struck me is a podcast with Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch on the Volume that came out this week, when they were like, "Man, I gotta talk to bro," but they can't talk to him. And Russell Wilson, I mean, Marshawn Lynch said, "Hey, man, if I gotta call somebody to get in touch with you, I don't gotta talk to you." And this is his former quarterback. They went to Super Bowls together. It's hard to believe that a guy like Marshawn Lynch can't, you know, get in touch with Russell Wilson after going to wars together. And it kind of speaks to how much of a personality game being a quarterback in the NFL truly is. You got to be able to galvanize people. And it doesn't get easier for the Denver Broncos. Next week, they take on my New York Jets in Mile High. 4-2. Not an easy one. This team has went in to Heinz Field to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have went in to Lambeau and beat the Green Bay Packers? It's a possibility that the Jets go in there and send Denver into 2-5. They got the Jets and the Jaguars coming up. But, man, the time is running out for Russell Wilson in this season. More or less than just him playing, losing the locker room, the talent level. I mean, he just looks like a different guy, man. He does not look like the dude who was shocked that he's never gotten an MVP vote in this league. Shocked. Yeah, I don't think he's going to get any MVP votes this year. I think that streak's going to continue, to be honest. Missing just wide open throwers, wide open completions. It's shocking. Shocking that a guy who has had this much success in the league and is still pretty relatively young. He's only 33 years old. But the man's taking a lot of punishment, a lot of mileage on his body. And if it's a wrap for him, I don't think it's a wrap for him. I think that first quarter showed you that he could still kind of get it done. But maybe the marriage, maybe the meshing of talent, not exactly what we expected coming into the season.
And then leaving Seattle, because I ain't going to lie, I really thought that dog was going to retire a Seahawk. Like, that was the only way.
He couldn't, Sean. He was in the shadow. They said it was Sean. They said it was the Legion of Boom. He said he got to do it by himself.
Hey, man, fuck that. You got to take that on the chin, because they going to say a lot of shit. And then they saying what they saying about you right now. But
right.
You know what I mean? But that's why I said I want to reach out to him, because, I mean, you know how I feel. It's like right now they looking at him as a black sheep. And look, though, if it's anybody who knows something about that with being in the league, bro, is me. You feel me? I done been to the bottom of this league before, where motherfuckers done counted you out and talked bad on you, and motherfuckers don't write him off all this type of time and all that. But you know what I mean? Now that he ain't in no Seahawk uniform, like, I'm pulling for him. Like, yeah, go be successful. Hey, man, go do all that, bro. Hey, go run it up on him, man. You got your bag. You feel me? Go do all that in Denver. But no, I ain't gonna hold you. I ain't wanna see it in Seattle for sure.
We'll talk more football later this week. Because last but not least, the NBA is back tonight. Opening night in the NBA with two monster lineups. First off, you got to kicking it off, Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. And the nightcap, you got ring night at Chase. The Golden State Warriors hosting the Los Angeles Lakers. Four extremely interesting teams going into the season. So before we get into the defending champions and everything going on with Warriors and Lakers drama, let's talk to the Eastern Conference, and let's talk about the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. Two teams that are probably the most favored to come out of the East outside of the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Philadelphia 76ers have a do-or-die year, people. It's a do-or-die year for a lot of those guys. It's a do-or-die year for Doc Rivers. It's a do-or-die year for James Harden. I'd even go as far to say it's a do-or-die year for Joel Embiid. Because the excuses have mounted for everybody on that team for a long time. And year after year after year, they've been knocking on the door of the Eastern Conference. There's no Ben Simmons to pass the buck to anymore. You got a full season of a former MVP in James Harden. You got what many believe is a Hall of Fame coach in Doc Rivers one day. You got young talent. You got Tyrese Maxey, who I am a huge fan of. Watched that kid since high school. And he's dog. Absolute dog. But that team needs to break through this year specifically. Why? Well, James Harden took a pay cut. Joel Embiid has finished number two in MVP voting for the past 2 years, next to Nikola Jokic. And Tyrese Maxey is on the verge of stardom in the NBA. It is rare that you can get a big three together, and that third is young, explosive, and still on the rookie deal. That being said, we're going to see the most one-on-ones we'll see Joel Embiid probably ever get. We'll see James Harden get the most one-on-ones he's probably seen since Houston. We're going to see Tyrese Maxey do a lot as he continues to grow into the player that he ultimately becomes. And I think the Philadelphia 76ers might be favored over the Boston Celtics, not just tonight, but for the rest of the season. I do think the Boston Celtics are a great team. I do think the combination of Tatum and Brown are tremendous. But I don't want us to understate what losing a head coach does to a franchise. Obviously, the Ime Udoka scandal rocked that organization. The addition of Malcolm Brogdon definitely is a huge solve for what they lacked in the finals last year. No discredit to Marcus Smart. Unbelievable player, tremendous player. He's not a point guard, though. Malcolm Brogdon, the president, is as point guard as it gets. If there's anything we notice in the NBA Finals is that guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown need to get easier shots, and you'd be hard-pressed to find a better point guard to get them easier shots than Malcolm Brogdon. And I think they'll be in the mix, but I think when push comes to shove, I just like Philly over Boston right now. The Atlantic Division is going to be a dogfight every night. Brooklyn Nets are the Brooklyn Nets. They seem focused. Ben Simmons looks focused. He looks locked in. Kevin Durant. Kyrie's Kyrie. We don't know what's going to happen with Kyrie. But left up to him, if you leave him to his own devices and his own words and what he said during, you know, every single part of training camp and leading up to the season, he plans to be locked in, and it's in his best interest, too, if he wants to get paid. That's why he didn't get paid this year, because we don't know what the hell's going on with Kyrie most of the time. But I think KD's locked in. I think the rest of Brooklyn Nets are locked in. That's going to be a tough division. My New York Knicks, I don't mean to sound like a homer, but I feel like they're going to surprise a lot of people this year. Do I think that they get into the top four like they did 2 years ago? I don't know. But I do love Jalen Brunson and the easy hand-in-glove fit that he has been to this team this entire preseason. There's been no hiccups. There's been no Russell Wilson-like moments with Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks. You could tell Julius Randle is taking a little bit more of a back seat to be a little bit more facilitator, a shooter, a rebounder, a defender. Which, God damn it, if that's all he got to do, that's the best version of Julius Randle we will see. It's the version we saw in 2020 when he did have a capable point guard play, helping him out with a healthy Derrick Rose, even though he wasn't a starter. Played a lot of minutes. Even though Alfred Payton wasn't that good, he facilitated. Took the ball out of Julius's hands. One thing we saw too much from Julius last year was him having the ball in his hands as a primary playmaker. That's not going to happen this year. RJ Barrett looks better. Evan Fournier, still knockdown shooter. Mitchell Robinson looks better. Obi Toppin looks better. The Knicks are going to surprise some people. Play-in, playoffs, who knows? But I don't think they're going to win less than 39 games. And I think 40-plus games gets you in this year. They look like a 40-plus one team. And the Toronto Raptors, you can never sleep on ever. They got championship DNA. They got Fred VanVleet. Scottie Barnes is a star in the making. And Pascal Siakam is a problem. But tonight, I like Philly beating Boston. I think James Harden's got a lot to prove. And I think he's going to come out guns blazing, along with Joel Embiid, who wants to be known as the best player in the league, the MVP. I got Philly. Now on to the West. The Golden State Warriors, defending NBA champions, coming into this game with their own controversy. Obviously, the Draymond Green situation between Jordan Poole and himself left a lot to be desired when it comes to Golden State. But don't tell that to Andrew Wiggins and Poole's pockets, because they got paid. And more or less, might have seen the writing on the wall for Draymond Green's tenure in Golden State, probably for this year. It might be a farewell tour. Now, he definitely has the option to opt in for another year, but I'm sure the man likes his money, and I'm sure the man has a potential destination in his eyes. And I'm sure it's going to be right across that bench tonight in the Los Angeles Lakers, who have a lot to deal with on their own. Well, all that being said, I still think the Warriors come out on top tonight. And I do think the Warriors are the favorite to repeat. I think they will repeat. They have no weaknesses that I can see. Even in their championship days, you would think that their interior presence was lacking. With the return of James Wiseman solves that. Kevin Looney, dog. Not going to have numbers that jump out the box score, but he's going to be somebody that gives you some interior presence. Steph Curry, you know what he's doing. Klay Thompson, another year of being healthy. And that young nucleus of the Golden State Warriors is so intriguing. I want to see how they are another year within the Golden State system. I want to see if Jonathan Kuminga is ready to look like a number 3 overall pick. And James Wiseman. I want to see what Moses Moody does this year. Kuminga, Wiseman, Moody, Poole, Wiggins, the depth that they have, along with high-level superstar, give me the ball and get out the way talent, along with the king of intangibles in Draymond Green, interior presence, veteran leadership, youthful exuberance, and the opportunity to stamp yourself as the team of the decade. I don't think the little skerfuffle between Draymond and Jordan Poole is going to stop any of that. I got Golden State winning tonight. I got Golden State repeating in the NBA Finals. And that brings me over to the other side, the Los Angeles Lakers, who seem like they have been in waiting for a big trade partner for Russell Westbrook. Now, there's an opportunity for Russell Westbrook to really redefine himself as somebody who comes off the bench and captains a bench team and still gets the opportunity to lead an offense and be a ball-dominant player that he's always been and probably his best use of himself at this moment. But LeBron James is a few thousand points away from tying and breaking the NBA's all-time scoring record, which is absolutely insane to think about. A record that I didn't think I'd ever see broken, which just speaks to the longevity, the greatness, the commitment to excellence that LeBron James has had throughout his entire career. So that's going to be at the top of the headlines for most of the year. However, all that's going to get lost in the shuffle if guys like Anthony Davis is not healthy and playing. So much undue criticism to Russell Westbrook, who, in a vacuum, if you look at those numbers, ain't terrible. Obviously, the eye test is different. Obviously, the way the game is played with him and LeBron on the same court, which I don't think has ever been a great fit. Two guys who do best being driving and facilitating and attacking the rim. There's just not enough floor spacing on a team with LeBron James and Russell Westbrook. So I do like Russell Westbrook coming off the bench. But all that's been to sort of hide what's been going on with Anthony Davis and his inability to stay on the floor. He's the reason why this team is a championship team. Of course, LeBron James, obviously, that goes without saying. But we saw what he looked like before the AD trade, and we saw what the Lakers looked like after the AD trade. When the man is healthy, when the man can stay on the floor, he's just as effective as guys like Giannis, as guys like Jokic, as guys like Embiid, guys who have won MVP or have become close to winning MVP in the past several years. And the funny thing is, not too long ago, it was comical to think any of these guys were better than Anthony Davis. My, how quickly has that changed? Giannis is in a league of his own. The most dominant player in basketball, period, bar none. Take it to the bank. Dominating. Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, the two most skillful bigs in the game. Talking skills, right? You know, you got to get real specific when you're talking Giannis and stuff, right? People don't like to call Giannis skilled because I guess it's not in the NBA rhetoric. But, you know, when you talk about skill-wise, Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, the two top candidates for MVP the past 2 and 3 years, they own that title. Where does Anthony Davis fall? At one time, maybe not the most dominant, but absolutely the most skilled big man in the game. The prototype big man. The big man that came into the league and was like, all big men will be made from this mold. And damn it, it sure has. He is the person who needs to be on the floor for the Lakers to have any chance at being relevant this season. Not LeBron James, not Russell Westbrook, not anybody on that team. I hope for his sake that he stays on the court because Anthony Davis is an absolute animal and a Hall of Fame type player. But I don't want him to be one of those guys that make you go, damn, remember when? Especially when we're getting this all galaxy performances from LeBron James at this late of his career. I'm really looking forward to tonight, man. I'm really looking forward to everything going on this NBA season. And you can catch me on the MSG Network starting this Friday. Catch me on the Knicks games, Knicks coverage, MSG PM, MSG Betcast, doing some color commentary. I'll be doing a little bit of everything. But for everything going on in the league, you can tap in right here with Say Less Daily. And your boy got you, bro. So you know what it is, man. Like we do it every time, right here. Thank you for checking in with Say Less Daily on the Say Less podcast feed. You can check out Say Less with Kaz, Loki, and Rosie on YouTube.com/Kazeem. You can check out the latest episode on the same feed right here. Just go back a few, and if you missed last week, say Less Dailies, you could just go and just tap in with all those and just get caught up on everything that I'm talking about. We're gonna have some guests on this week as well. We got some great guests coming in next week and this week on the regular podcast. But until then, man, as sports is starting to turn up, Yankee game tonight, NBA tip off, NFL in full swing, got some wrestling to talk about, you can catch me right here on Say Less Daily. So like we do it this time, every time, stay free, stay safe, and always say less. Have a good night, people. Well, have a good rest of your day, people. And I'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.